Welcome to episode 7 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? Yes, I am your co-host here, Anthony Cirelli, with Husky, my other co-host, sitting across from me. How you doing?
What's up, Anthony? Doing well, thanks. Good to be back in Southern California.
Absolutely. Long time no see. So we're going to get to the topics right away. We had a long road trip to talk about between the Ducks heading to Boston, finishing up their long road trip, and then coming back to play Buffalo and Carolina. So we're going to go over some details from there. We're also going to preview some of the next games, and we're going to talk about some of our favorite NHL music, some traditions that go along with different teams in the NHL that have to do with music. Kent's got a good story for you on that one. I've got some choice songs that I like from around the NHL as well, so we'll finish up with that. And as always, you can find our podcast on all the normal podcast directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. You can also find us at Believe.com and at Believe Podcast. So, Ken, let's kick it off. You wanted to talk a lot about the Buffalo game. That game struck you in particular. What specifically?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of, it was a great game. Just kind of had a little bit of everything. It was a bit of a three-ring circus at times, but definitely a high entertainment value there. I think it was kind of a not so hot first 5 minutes, but then just kind of the way the Sabres were dominating, kind of putting on a show, and their skill was on display in plain sight there, kind of all over the ice. But once the Ducks kind of got their bearings, and just love the resiliency this team's showing to be able to kind of bury the first few minutes and just come up with a response like that on the score sheet as well as physically. I just thought it was an awesome game. The crowd was great. It was fun to watch for sure. What were your thoughts on the?
I agree. I like the way they bounced back after giving up that first goal to Eichel. Just to start off, unfortunately, one of the downsides, Manson, after that play against Crosby in Pittsburgh, and then that goal by Eichel, I think Manson struggled a little bit, Josh Manson, to start off the season. And Lindholm as well in Boston had a giveaway. So that pairing, I think, can improve. But I was encouraged by the rest of the play, specifically the power play goal. I like the change they made. It feels like they made a change from getting shots. They focused a lot on getting shots from the point and traffic in front earlier, and that wasn't working. And it felt like on that goal, they were really trying to get Omar to move side to side, put him out of position. It was kind of a strange, I thought it was kind of a, on top of having it just being a nice passing play there, I thought it definitely was a breakdown by the Sabres. I mean, you can't allow two cross-ice passes through the middle of your kind of box like that. That's how I felt. Two basically cross-ice passes that just made Omar go side to side twice, and then they buried that goal there. So I think that was a good adjustment on the power play. Have you seen anything on their power play that they've changed or made a concerted effort to change in the last few games or so?
Yeah, I mean, I know they haven't obviously been lighting the scoreboard on fire on the power play, but I think the execution's been there. I think their entries have looked good. I mean, the organizations look good, execution, everything is good. They just haven't been able to put the puck in the net a lot, but it's good to see them finally get rewarded for all the work. Those guys put in a lot of time, a lot of practice hours, a lot of video goes into the power play. So to see them finally get a nice play workout, and the back-to-back seam passes, that was nice. That was good. Obviously, good first seam pass by Getzy over to Sam Steele. That always kind of will throw the PK off. It just, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just kind of it's just unsettling and kind of gets everyone in a scramble. And then to have Sam Steele, I think everyone thought he was going to shot, and that would probably be the last thing you're expecting as a penalty killer, that he's going to go right back through your seam, right back to the guy who just did it. So that was the thing. It was a great play by him, and a good finish by Getzloff there. I got a lot of notes from Buffalo. That was definitely front and center, was the power play first coming through. Let me see. Yeah, there were some penalty issues, possibly. Some could say some discipline issues. I'm sure the coaching staff were kind of settling the guys down. It's going to happen in an emotional game like that. There was a lot of chippiness, a lot of after-the-whistle stuff. I thought the one play that was kind of out of all the physicality and scrums and everything, the one play that could have done some damage through no fault of really anyone was, I think, with Derek Grant, who incidentally has been playing some amazing hockey this to start the season. Love seeing that from a guy that's kind of traveled around through a few teams, but I remember his first stint with Anaheim. He did some great things. To see him back and playing this well has been great. But his takedown of Victor Olofsson was kind of Olofsson is kind of sticking his nose in the scrum, and when you do that as kind of a third man in, you're kind of asking for it. And I think Grant kind of just came in to grab him and pull him out of the scrum, but just the difference in size and the way he kind of body slammed, I think everyone was just kind of taken aback, including Grant. Was just kind of like, oh, whoa, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Olofsson was just kind of sitting there, and the way he went down was a little awkward just because of the impact of the force, but I mean, he looked okay after, but that was kind of scary for a split second there. I think everyone was that could have been bad, but just a fluky play, and things happen like that in scrums.
Just ragdolled them.
Yeah, exactly. I know everyone on the eight and the refs, and even Olofsson was just kind of kneeling there after, like, geez, man.
On the Richie thing, he wasn't suspended, was he? He was just fined. I think he was fined a little over $4,000. I'm looking now. Yeah, did he get suspended later?
I don't know. We gotta check our facts.
Yeah, we'll check our facts. I'll cut that out. That's the beauty of a podcast. But yeah, the Richie, I think he was just fine. But that was interesting. You could tell the wires crossed. I think Sobotka might have said something. I mean, probably did say something. When you played with him, was he that type of player who could get trash talker, a good needler?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's good at getting under other guys' skin, but he plays hard. He's a hard-nosed, gritty guy. Loves getting the scrums and mixing it up and chirping and giving a little shot here and there. And they'd kind of had exchanged words and shots a couple times through the game. So, you just in instances like that, you kind of wonder what was said. And I think it would be funny to get the transcripts from that, from those exchanges. But
probably called him out for diving. that's what would have, like we've discussed before, that's what would have gotten me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think the other thing that struck me particularly about, I guess we can go back to Buffalo, but also the Carolina game, the passes, the long stretch passes, those I saw, I think at least three of the goals were scored on long passes from the Ducks' defensive zone into the neutral zone. And then the Ducks, on one occasion, I think it was just made a cross ice pass. I think it was Silverberg, who had a lot of speed coming through the zone when he scored his goal. Just a lot of those stretch passes seem to give them the ability to maintain speed through the neutral zone and then generate rushes. And I think almost every goal was scored kind of in that fashion last night against Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. That was front and center in my notes as well. I think you can give a lot of credit to just solid game planning. I'm sure a lot of video but just a great scheme and game plan orchestrated by the coach and executed by the players. You could see that was something that they wanted to do to alleviate, obviously, Carolina. Was a pressure team, likes to stand up at the blue line, likes to kind of try and isolate guys on the side, and a great response and way to work through that is to spread the ice. And to do that, you saw that, like you mentioned, you had it. Basically every single goal last night was a result of spreading the ice, going side to side. And I mean, that's on the passer and that's on the receiver as well. And that's just a great organization and execution there. I think Yeah, if you go through the goals, first off, I want to go back to Manson and Lindholm and talk about them.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to kind of crap on them and then move on like without. And I think Manson also does deserve some credit, especially for how he played last night. So we'll definitely talk about
that. Yeah, I want to revisit those two guys because I think they're a huge key for this team this year. But yeah, going through the goals from last night, the first goal, I had all five guys touch the puck. I mean, that's a complete team effort. Raquel basically started it with great composure at the blue line, not just chipping the puck out, holding on to it for an extra second. Always great for teams when you see guys doing that. Just kind of adds to an atmosphere of kind of composure and just how you're basically controlling the flow of the game and the puck possession, that kind of thing. Always great when you see that. So great play by him to kind of shield it at the blue line, move it back to the defenseman, keep possession as opposed to just chipping it out. And then he just got his legs moving. You saw the Ducks, the first period, legs were churning across the board, even with the puck, away from the puck, everyone was skating. So then you saw a nice D-to-D up the wall, quick chip to the center, back to Raquel, who feet moving all the way through the neutral zone. And then, again, that guy, who was it, Henrique, great positioning, executing the game plan, stayed wide, away from pressure. So it was just a quick touch pass to the middle to Raquel, held on to it for a millisecond before knew where Henrique was, distributed it to the far side. And then just a great snapshot on the low blocker coming in on the wing there. So, yeah, just moving the puck wide. Great outlet passes all night last night. I could go through each goal, but that might, I think we're supposed to be somewhere around a half hour show.
So. You could just, you'd elaborate on those all night long. I also... positive sign, Troy Terry gets his first goal of the season. It was a nice kind of, it looked like a tip-in kind of in front. The one of the few goals that wasn't directly the result of a off the rush, but it kind of, he posted himself in front for a little bit there and potted his first one. And I think that's, I've been talking about the young players all season. I think maybe we've been pumping them up a little too much in terms of expectations, but we've talked a little bit in the past. They've been doing a lot of small things right. Forecheck, especially in the offensive zone, Eakins is not afraid to put them on the power play, put them in important spots, and play them with top-line minutes. So I think it's a matter of time. And in the last two games, you've seen Steele, Comtois get assists, Terry get a goal. I think one of them, maybe Steele got another assist last night, maybe. But they're starting to pick things up in the offensive production category, and that's only good for the Ducks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, everyone always freaks out about points. But, I think these guys collectively, everyone's been start out the season strong. I think they look great. They're playing complete hockey out there. And now you start to see the points kind of slowly start to come. And just watching Troy Terry last night, he looked great again, making great plays with the puck, looking dangerous all night. That second goal, he just basically came, it was right after the Manson breakaway, basically a great play by him to jump up, and then it got cleared out. And you just see Troy Terry get basically shot out of a cannon coming off the bench there and comes just right back on the re-attack. Not a moment to break, to get a breath for the defenders, and does a great job of attacking the middle, makes a nice little move and a kick out to Sam Steele. Another guy who's, the points are coming. Relax, the points are coming.
I'll take my Xanax.
I'm just reading like the message boards and everything like that, and people like the young guys aren't scoring, and I think it's coming, and nice kick out to Steele anyways, and then great patience and great finding another key performer to the Ducks in this early point of the season, Cam Fowler, and another great shot for a tip. And you got to love Troy Terry too. Makes that pass, continues to the net, doubles back, and works to get body position on arguably the Hurricanes' best defender in Slavin. And, you know, to see him be able to compete against the top pair like that and have the wherewithal and the work and attention to detail to get to the front of the net, get that screen and get that tip. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, and Terry, I think one thing he does that I noticed on the forecheck and in front of the net, I think he's 6 feet or something like that, but he's not a huge imposing guy, but he's able to get body position on different parts of the ice so effectively. I pointed out in an article I wrote a forecheck that generated a scoring chance against Detroit. Had body position on him, and Terry just kind of knifed in at the last minute, took the puck from him, and generated a scoring chance. And same thing last night, getting in front of Slavin, getting body position there. He's skilled offensively, but he's also very just mentally smart. He knows how to get different into different areas, and I think that's one of the underrated parts of his game is just body positioning.
Yeah, and that's all work away from the puck, and I think... When you're watching the game, I think the focus is obviously on the puck, and that's the nature of the game, and that's the area where the focus should be. But so much of the game is away from the puck, and that's where I think the hockey sense and just that kind of constant work of I think even the high end players, the puck's actually only on your stick for seconds or maybe a couple minutes if you're highly elite, so that leaves a lot of time where you don't have the puck, where there's a lot of work to be done, and to see a young player like Troy Terry making good use of that time and putting the work in when you're away from the puck, I think you're gonna get rewarded for that long term.
All right, so let's get into Manson and Lindholm. You touched on their importance to this team last season. They didn't play together that much last season. They were together at times. Two seasons ago was when they kind of established that partnership that everyone was expecting them to play together. And now that they're back together, how you mentioned how important they are for this team. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think the matchups and situations that these guys are going to see on a nightly basis, I guess I'm biased as a former defenseman too. I have a few biases, and that's one of them. But I think these guys have been great, and I think yes. Defensively and as far as the life of a defenseman, yeah, the offensive side is great, and to be noticed for that is great, and that's a lot more tangible and a lot more noticeable. But as far as the defensive part of your game, I remember basically there. I was kind of one of these players. I know a lot of the more defensive defensemen. It's almost like if you're not noticed, that means you do a good job. I think a lot could be said of third and fourth lines across the league too. Like if you're going unnoticed, that means you're doing your job and everything's getting taken care of defensively, and anything offensive is a bonus. But just given those valuable minutes, I think is super important. And just these guys, the matchups they're seeing every night. I mean, yeah, you mentioned it, the Crosby play, which was.
I don't know if that was necessarily his. I mean, I am admitting, yeah, Eichel and Crosby are two of the best players in the league. So it's like he's going against those guys. And the Crosby goal, I don't think necessarily was strictly on him. He kind of got pulled out of position by a weak forecheck that all of a sudden I think he saw three guys coming at him, he and Lindholm. And there's not much you can do, I think, about that.
Yeah, I think, and it's a game of inches too, and obviously the margin for error when you're playing against top lines and the best players is, I mean, everyone's a great player in the NHL, no doubt about it, but the margin for error from playing against the best players on the top lines across the league and playing against guys on the third and fourth line, I think any defenseman will tell you that there's a significant difference in your margin for error there. And on the Crosby goal, I remember, I think Matt said maybe probably tell you you just got on the wrong side or just kind of got a little over aggressive one way and probably just by a couple inches. And against those players, that's all it takes. And I think then the Eichel goal too, I think he took a couple of swipes at the puck. I mean, he was right there. Great play by Eichel. He used his leg. I like how they isolated that on the Ducks broadcast, how he used his leg to kind of shield the puck. And Madsen was right there, just missed the puck by, again, it's just an inch. A couple times he had a couple of swipes at it, was right there. And then Michael was just able to get that corner and cut across the net. But you're going to get that playing against the top players in the league. And I think, you look at there are some mistakes, and those mistakes are going to get exposed playing against those guys. But then you look at the Buffalo game, Manson comes back, has two big assists offensively, and winds up two assists and a plus three at the end of the night. So I think, playing against the top penalty kill or the top power play units on their team, taking all the draws in your offensive end, playing against the other players, top players on the other offensive, the other top offensive players on the opposing team. That's a tough task, and I think that's basically they're going to get the lion's share of that this year. And the fact that the Ducks have started how they have, I think they're a big reason why, and I don't necessarily know that they have gotten the credit they deserve or are going to get the credit they deserve over the course of this year, just with the nature of their roles on this team. But make no mistake about it, they're two huge keys.
Got it. So let's preview the next few games. Pretty grueling schedule actually coming up. I think they have a game every other day this entire week. I think it's four and 7 days, one off day in between on each one, and a road trip in there. And the Ducks' first game against their former teammate Corey Perry in Dallas, provided that he's healthy. Do you think there's going to be any fireworks in that game? Do you think Perry is going to come in with a little extra chip on his shoulder against his former teammates, or do you think he's going to be a little more reserved?
I think it'll be funny. You always love the way Corey Perry played and getting in front of the net and falling into the goalie and just kind of being a thorn in the side of the other team. I think it was always kind of comical to watch him after whistles, and especially when he was getting under the other team's skin. So I think there will probably be a healthy dose of that during the game too, probably with maybe some... I think he'll be fired up to play against your old team. That's kind of second nature as a hockey player. You always want to bury your old team, and especially when you got buddies on the other team, always bragging rights and chirping rights, ever important. But I don't know. I wouldn't expect any major fireworks. I know Corey was very well liked guy by all the Ducks and throughout the organization. And if anything, that would probably be some funny chirps. So look for some stuff after the whistle, and it should be entertaining though. I think.
Do you think he's gonna make any hair jokes to Getzlaf?
I'm sure. I'd love to get the transcripts, because there's probably going to be some great chirps going back and forth, but I'm sure it'll all be kind of good natured. Those guys always had some funny exchanges.
All right. Well, it is going to be a challenging week for the Ducks, but they've shown that they're up to the task so far. They played very well, so we're looking forward to this coming week. So let's talk about our three stars segment this week. Three music traditions in the NHL that you enjoy. That can be goal songs, it can be pregame skate songs, it can be songs they play in the middle of any team plays in the middle of the game. What were your three favorites?
So mine were obviously the bro hymn from the Ducks. I know we've talked about that at length. It's kind of a cool iconic song. Always makes me think of 2007, hearing that echo throughout the rink. My other two are, I guess I have a funny story. One was, I'll always kind of remember the Don't Stop Believing that they play in Detroit. They always kind of play it at a certain time during the game, whether the either in kind of a celebration of a game that's going well, or if they need a rally cry to get the fans going, or they always seem to find the right time to play it. It's just such an awesome song. But I just remember when I was playing in San Jose, we were in playing Detroit in a playoff series, and we were up in the series. Everything had gone right, and we were up 3-0 with game 4 in Detroit. And they just weren't having it, and they absolutely lit us up. I think it was late in the third period. They were beating us, I believe it was 7-2. I think Johan Franzen, the mule, had like 4 goals against us. And I think the game was kind of out of hand. And yeah, there were a few minutes left, and there was the puck was in front of our net, and there was a scramble again, and the mule was back there trying to get number 5 or number 6, or he just had a boatload of goals that night. And I was there, me and JD Demers were on the ice, and I just remember I basically tackled him. I'm like, he's not getting another one. So I tackled him and jumped on him in front of the net, and there was a big scrum. And I remember myself and Scott Nickel wound up in the penalty box, and it was 7-2 with about 4:30 left. And I think there was just a brief stoppage, and sure enough, you hear like the piano start coming on, and Don't Stop Believing, they're just blaring it. And the whole crowd is just going insane, and everyone's singing along. And I mean, the game was over at that point. It's 7-2, and me and Scotty Nickel were just sitting in the bench. We just kind of look at each other, and we're like, dude, this is sick. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, what an atmosphere. Because the whole rink was just on fire with like one of the best songs of all time just playing. And yeah, it was that was a cool moment, even though we were down 7-2. But yeah, I think we sat beside each other on the plane. We were just kind of marveling even after the game. Like, man, it was a brutal game, but how sick was that in the penalty box? Like, geez, what a moment. And we ended up coming back and winning game 5 in San Jose to take the series and go on with the conference final. So
all's well that ends well.
Yeah, it was a good ending there. But yeah, that was always a cool moment, something I'll remember. And then I guess it was actually another Detroit song that always sticks out back from 07. I think your moments like that and that kind of period of time always produce the best memories. And then I just remember kind of sitting down in the tunnel as we were getting ready. It was the Ducks. I believe it was game 4. We were down 2-1 to Detroit in Detroit, and we're going out for game 4. And I think Prongs was suspended, and so the chips were down, and we really needed a win. And that was the night that Solani stripped the puck and scored that backhand goal in overtime. But yeah, I just remember sitting down in the tunnel before the game, and Fall Out Boy's Thanks for Their Memories was just blaring. And it's just kind of ironic that I always, when I hear that song, I just remember that moment, remember that night. And just the title of the song was just pretty pretty appropriate. So those were my three. An honorable mention was Seek and Destroy by Metallica, another San Jose memory, just skating out through the Shark Head to Seek and Destroy, playing with that the San Jose crowd, awesome crowds up there, another kind of atmospheric moment. But so those are my three plus one. And what are your three kind of memorable songs when it comes to hockey?
Well, you can't go wrong with Metallica at any sporting event. Seek and Destroy, that's excellent. I have to agree with you there. My three were, a couple were goal songs. First one, Chelsea Dagger for the Blackhawks. That song is such an earworm that when the Blackhawks were good, they would score so much, and it just like feels like every 5 minutes it's just your da 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 da.
Burned into my memory.
Like it's enough to give you nightmares, but it's a great, I think it's a great kind of emotional warfare type thing, or a mental warfare type thing, especially when you're scoring a lot.
Definitely.
The Brohim, I think, is one of the best goal songs in the NHL, and hopefully
Agreed.
More on that to come if things work out. But it's such a quintessential, it's from a, like, Pennywise, such a Southern California band,
yeah,
even though
that's
they're,
right.
they're from King's Country, Hermosa Beach, but they that song was iconic during your guys' Stanley Cup run. It's an interesting, just an interesting, a unique song. If you look up what it's actually about, besides just the chorus, it's kind of not inspirational, but it's sobering, I think, is the type of song that actually is. It's just, I just think it's one of the more unique goal songs in the NHL. And then the last one isn't a goal song. It does come from my Bruins background is, before they drop the puck in the first period, they'll play The Game by Motorhead. They'll play like the first couple chords of it. That gets you jacked
yeah.
up. That's one of my favorite moments just before puck drop. It really gets people going. And then honorable mention for me is Nashville. Even though I hate country music. It's just, it drives me nuts. But I Like It, I Love It, kind of special version that Tim McGraw sings for the Predators. That's definitely cool. That's a very unique, I like unique goal songs. That's a unique Nashville country music thing. So I'm willing to give that a pass. I really like that
yeah,
tradition.
Yeah, that's a great call. Those are, four great ones for sure.
All right, that'll wrap up episode 7 of the Flying V episode 7 of the Flying V Believe. Wow, I can't get it straight today, but we're going to keep those in. The Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast
yes.
on the Believe Podcast
nice.
Network, as I finally am able to spit it out. And like I said before, we're available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, TuneIn, and Believe.com. You can follow Believe Podcast at Believe Podcast. You can follow me at Deli Tweets on Twitter and at Deli Meat on Instagram. And Husky, if you want to give them yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Husk Verna on Instagram and Twitter with my one ghost tweet that I
found it. It's there. It's there for the record.
Nice. Yeah, and that's Husk Verna, HUSK_VERNA.
All right, guys. We look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye.
See you guys.